Playing God, Misreading a Divine Practice. Introduction. In order to understand divine religions, it is essential to comprehend a certain unalterable practice of God. This practice is nothing but a divine scheme devised and executed by God, either through natural disasters or through His messengers and their followers, and as such do not relate to the Sharia or divine law revealed by Him. Simply put, it is God, through natural disasters or through His messengers, punishes and humiliates in this very world their foremost and direct adversaries who deliberately deny the truth communicated to them by their respective messenger, and rewards in this very world those among them who adhere to the truth. In the case when this humiliation takes place to the messengers and their followers, they act as nothing but divine weapons. As such, this divine practice must not be undertaken by human beings on their own. It is God's retribution carried out by God Himself. The purpose of this worldly retribution is to make mankind mindful of the most important reality that it tends to forget, and that is reward and punishment in the hereafter on the basis of a person's deeds. This reward and punishment, which is to take place in the hereafter, is substantiated visually by the Almighty through the agency of His messengers, so that mankind may always remain heedful to this reality. The code of justice, which will be set up for every person on the day of judgment, was set up for the nations of messengers in this world, so that the latter could become a visual testimony to the former. To put it another way, before the advent of the greater day of judgment, several lesser days of judgment were brought about in this world, in which people were rewarded and punished on the basis of their deeds, so that they could become a visual evidence to the judgment that will take place in the hereafter. The Quranic words are لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ, or so that mankind, after the coming of these messengers, is left with no excuse against the Almighty. Surah number 4, verse 165. The details of this practice abound in the Quran. Although faint references to this divine practice can be found in the works of our previous scholars, Hamiduddin Farahi was the first person to concretely point out this divine practice. Later, his pupil Amin Yasin Islahi consolidated the views of his mentor by providing copious references from the Quran in his tafsir, Tadabbur-i-Quran. Javed Ahmed Ghamidi, a pupil of Islahi, has developed the views of his two illustrious predecessors and has enunciated precise details of this divine practice. However, many scholars have misread this practice of God. They have regarded it to be a part of the Sharia, and as a result think that after the departure of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, later Muslims too have the right to punish and subjugate people who deny the truth. As a consequence of this misreading, many other erroneous inferences have also resulted. Matters which were to be left to God have been taken up by human beings. In this manner, they are now guilty of inadvertently playing God. In this short treatise, a study of this divine practice will be conducted in the light of the researches of the above-mentioned scholars. First, the details of how this divine practice pervaded the preaching missions of the messengers of God shall be put forth. Second, the details of the last manifestation of this divine practice in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall be presented. Third, it shall be shown how some directives have been erroneously made part of the Islamic Sharia and have in fact resulted from misreading this divine practice of God. Fourth, relations with non-Muslims shall be explored as a result of the foregoing analysis. However, before the study is conducted, here are precise statements of this divine practice from the Quran. Statement of the divine practice. According to the Quran, God decides the fate of the nation of every messenger in this world. The Quran states, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ رَسُولُهُمْ قُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And for each community there is a messenger. Then when their messenger comes, their fate is decided with justice, and they are not wronged. While explaining the details of how this fate is decided, the Quran says, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ لَبَأُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ والذين من بعدهم لا يعلمهم إلا الله جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فردوا أيديهم في أفواههم وقالوا إنا كفرنا بما أرسلتم به وإنا لفي شك مما تدعوننا إليه مريب قالت رسلهم أفي الله شك فاطر السماوات والأرض يدعوكم ليغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا تريدون أن تصدون عما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتونا بسلطان مبين قالت لهم رسلهم إن نحن إلا بشر مثلكم ولكن الله يمن على من يشاء من عباده وما كان لنا أن نأتيكم بسلطان إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون وما لنا ألا نتوكل على الله وقد هدانا سبلنا ولنصبرن على ما آذيتمونا وعلى الله فليتوكل المتوكلون وقال الذين كفروا لرسلهم لنخرجنكم من أرضنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا فأوحى إليهم ربهم لنهلكن الظالمين ولنسكننكم الأرض من بعدهم ذلك لمن خاف مقامي وخاف وعيد Have you not heard what befell those who have gone before you? The accounts of the people of Noah, Ad, and Thamud, and those who came after them, whom only God knows. Their messengers came to them with clear signs, but they placed their hands on their mouths, the mouths of the messengers, and said, We will not accept the message with which you have been sent, and have baffling doubts about that which you call us to. Their messengers said, Do you have doubts about God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? He calls you to him that he may forgive you your sins and give you respite till an appointed time. They said, You are but a human being like ourselves. You wish to stop us from worshipping the deities our fathers worship. Then bring us a clear miracle. Their messengers replied, We are indeed but mortals like yourselves. Yet God bestows his grace on such of his servants as he chooses, and we do not have any authority of our own to present a miracle except by God's permission. At last, these rejectors told their messengers, Return to our ways, or we will banish you from our land. Then their Lord revealed to them, saying, We shall kill these wrongdoers and give you this land to dwell after them. These are glad tidings for those who are fearful of standing before me one day, and those who fear my threats. Surah number 14, verses 9 to 14. It has been ordained that the Almighty and His messengers will always prevail. The Quran states, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَادُّونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ Indeed, those who are opposing God and His messenger are bound to be humiliated. The Almighty has ordained, I and my messengers shall always prevail. Indeed, God is mighty and powerful. Surah number 58, verses 20 and 21. As a result, the Almighty will bless His messengers and their companions with success and help, both in this world and in the hereafter. The Quran states, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْحَادِ We will surely help our messengers and the believers, both in this world and on the day when the witnesses rise to testify. Surah number 40, verse 51. Realization of the divine practice in the preaching of messengers. While describing the medium and methodology of this divine practice, Javed Ahmed Ghamidi writes, The way this established practice about Risala or prophethood manifests itself is that the Almighty selects His messengers so that reward and punishment can be meted out in this world through them before the actual day of judgment. It becomes a miniature rehearsal of what is going to take place on that day. These messengers are told that if they honor their covenant with God, they will be rewarded in this very world, and if they do not do so, they will be punished in this very world. The result is that the very existence of these messengers becomes a sign of God, and it is as if their people can observe God walking on earth with these messengers and delivering His verdicts. On the basis of the signs of truth that they have directly observed, they are directed to propagate the truth and present to the people with full certainty the very guidance of God, the way they have received it from Him. In the terminology of the Quran, this is called Shahada. Once this is established, it becomes a basis of the judgment of the Almighty, both in this world and in that to come. Consequently, the Almighty grants dominance to these messengers and punishes those who reject the message presented by these messengers. Javed Ahmed Ghamidi, Mizan, page 70. In other words, the truth is made irrefutably evident before the addressees of a messenger. The process which is primarily adopted in this regard is that the person of a messenger is made a symbol of God's justice. If he adheres to the truth, the Almighty rewards him, and if he deviates from the truth, he is checked immediately by the Almighty. In this manner, it is as if people can observe God around his messenger. Moreover, a messenger is shown various signs of truth from God. On the basis of these signs, he communicates the truth to his people. His preaching mission, after passing through various phases, culminates in achieving the above-mentioned objective of deciding the fate of his nation in this very world. Once this is achieved, it in itself becomes a means of irrefutably conveying the truth to all people who happen to observe this phenomenon. The preaching mission of a messenger can be broadly categorized in the following three phases. 1. The propagation phase. 2. The acquittal phase. And 3. The judgment phase. In the following paragraphs, we will take a look at some of the important features of these phases. 1. The propagation phase. With this phase begins the mission of the messengers. During this phase, with the special help and assistance of the Almighty, the messengers remove misconceptions which may surround the truth and vehemently say that if people do not accept the truth, they shall be doomed in this world and in the hereafter. In this phase, the messenger of God never use force or retaliate against any oppression or persecution encountered. They spend all their time and energy in earnestly urging people to mend their ways. In this phase, the addressees of a messenger are the influential people of the society. Their political and social leaders and their intellectuals are earnestly called upon. While explaining this aspect, Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, Abraham, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the very outset, called to the truth his family and clan, who held the reins of religious leadership. He then called to the truth the king who had the reins of political authority and who thought that he had power over the life and death of people. The Almighty had directed Moses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to first of all address the Pharaoh. Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first called upon the scholars of the Jews. Similarly, the preaching endeavors of the prophets Noha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Saleh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are all mentioned in the Quran. All these prophets began their preaching by calling upon the people who were in authority in their times. They tried to wake up those in authority and the arrogant people of their times from their deep slumber and vehemently criticized their views. Finally, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent and asked to warn his immediate relatives. These relatives were the religious and political leaders of the patriarchal polity of Arabia, and with this reference, morally and politically guided all the people of Arabia. Amin Ehsan Islahi, Dawat-ud-Din aur uska Tariqa-e-Kar, page 50. In the second stage of the propagation phase, the messengers of God augment their preaching efforts and increase their sphere. When the leaders of their people see that their efforts are bearing fruit, they try to stop these messengers by hook or by crook. The propagation phase finally culminates in the communication of the truth in a conclusive manner to the addressees. Such is the conclusive nature of this communication that they are left with no excuse to deny the truth. 2. The acquittal phase. At the end of the propagation phase, which is signaled by the Almighty, since only He knows when enough time has been given to people to reflect and accept the truth, a messenger disassociates himself from his people by announcing his acquittal and migrating from them so that the Almighty can pronounce his judgment both upon the followers of the messenger and his adversaries. Two important things must be noted about the migration of a messenger which takes place in this acquittal phase. Firstly, it signals the end of his nation. It means that all that could have been done to call them to accept faith has been done. Before migration, as long as a messenger remains among his people, they are protected from any punishment and given respite due to his presence. So when the pagan Arabs demanded from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring the punishment he had been threatening them with, they were told, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. But God was not going to send them a punishment whilst you are amongst them. Surah number 8, verse 33. Secondly, a messenger is not authorized to make the decision of migration for himself, since only the Almighty knows when a particular people has been given enough time to accept the truth. A messenger must keep to his task of warning his people in spite of bitter opposition until he is informed by the Almighty that the time for warning them is over. The Prophet Jonah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was reprimanded by the Almighty when he on his own decided to migrate from his people. The Quran states, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And remember Dhunnun when he departed in wrath, thinking that we will not hold him responsible. So he cried through the depths of darkness, There is no God but you, glory be to you, I was indeed wrong. Surah number 21, verse 87. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to exercise patience and not be like Jonah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the decree of God arrived. The Quran states, فَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ. So wait with patience for the command of your Lord and be not like the companion of the fish when he cried out in agony. Surah number 68, verse 48. On the other hand, when Abraham sallallahu alaihi wasallam argued with the Almighty that the nation of his nephew, the Prophet Lot sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be given more respite, he was told that none among the righteous were left in it. While the Quran in Surah Hud, verse 74, makes a passing reference to this, the Bible gives the following details. Then Abraham approached him and said, Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you totally sweep it away and not spare that place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again, Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him, What if only 40 are found there? He said, For the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 to 32.